And welcome back to From the Stand. Our program is supported by the Commemorative Air Force, hosting Air Show 2014, October 11th and 12th in Midland, Texas. With more than 11,000 members, the CAF honors America's military aviation heritage through flight, exhibition, and remembrance. Find out more at commemorativeairforce.org. And joining us right now, Amelia Rose Earhart. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome back to Oshkosh. Third year, you said?
Yes, third year. First, just came to check everything out, right. And for the last 2 years, we've been here based around the Amelia Project.
All right. The Amelia Project. Tell us about it.
So I decided after flying for the last 10 years, in the last year and a half, I really started putting my mind towards completing a long-term goal that I found, which was to symbolically complete the flight that Amelia Mary Earhart never got to finish, but she set out to start it and finish it in 1937 and, of course, disappeared in the South Pacific after leaving Papua New Guinea and approaching Howland Island. So I love working with young girls, want to inspire them and show people what it's like to have grand adventure.
Great. Can you explain the history of your name?
Absolutely. So I'm not related. There's the first part. Right. I'm a namesake of Amelia's, and okay. My parents had the last name Earhart, spelled the same way. And so my parents, that are pretty creative and adventurous people themselves, said, you know, we've got a really great opportunity here. We can give her a good role model. We can inspire her with the past and also give her a name that nobody will ever forget. And that works. You know, every conversation I get into, people always remember the name.
Of course.
So they said, you know, let's try it out. And for the first 18 years of my life, I went by Amy, short for Amelia, just as a nickname. And from there, you know, it took me a while to grow into it. But now that I'm a pilot, it's the best gift that they could have ever given me.
Excellent. Was your family aviation oriented?
Not in the slightest. No, they just loved Amelia's legacy, and they loved her story of, you know, passion and grand adventure.
All right. Well, speaking of grand adventure, your around the world flight just completed earlier this month. How long did it take you to kind of put all of that together?
You know, the planning was more difficult than the actual flight itself. As you know, there's a lot that goes into it, from determining the route to choosing an aircraft, modifying that aircraft, working with the different governments that you're flying into for overflight permits and visas. Once you get on the ground, you need to make sure the appropriate type and amount of fuel is there. You've got to plan where you're going to stay, security. So it took an entire year and a half to plan the flight. And last year at AirVenture is when we announced to the world that we'd be flying around it in the Pilatus PC-12NG.
Excellent. Now, I understand that you also sought out some of the other Earthrounders. Earthrounders, for those who don't know, are people who've actually flown around the world. Barrington Irving,
yes.
I understand, was an inspiration to you.
He really was. And I'm on the board of directors at Wings Over the Rockies Air and Space Museum mm-hmm. in Denver, and we held an event where we invited Barrington to come and speak with the kids. And I pulled him aside at the end, and I said, Barrington, I said, you know the history behind the name. I'm thinking about doing it. I said, do you have any advice? And he said, absolutely. First of all, if I can do it, you can do it, which made me feel good. He then said, give yourself twice as long to plan than you think you'll need, and also plan for twice as big of a budget.
If you don't mind me asking, how much of a budget did you need to raise before the flight?
You know, it was definitely upwards of $100,000 to make the trip complete, but we had great partners that, you know, allowed us to use an aircraft. We used the Pilatus, and they let us opt to use their 2014 demo aircraft, which was an amazing opportunity. We put a 200-gallon extra fuel tank in the back of the cabin, and that got our range up to 2,500 nautical miles. So they really made some great exceptions to allow us to make those longer legs, and I'm so glad that we chose the plane that we did.
And when you say we, you were joined by a co-pilot,
yes,
correct?
Yes, I did have a co-pilot, Shane Jordan, who is a former Pilatus demo pilot. And, you know, he joined me not only as the best person who knows, you know, just so much about the aircraft, but he also had international flying experience through Africa and also became a great friend. So we felt like we both learned a lot about the aircraft from each other along the way.
Now, you mentioned before we came on the air about the significance of the airplane and the hangar,
right,
where you took off for the flight. Tell us.
So we got an incredible opportunity when we went out to Oakland, and we got contacted by Landmark Aviation, who owns the hangar where Amelia departed from in 1937. And they said, you know, we don't know if you have hangar space booked yet, but if you like, you can keep the PC-12 in the hangar overnight and depart from the same spot she did back when she departed on her Around the World mission. And we said, absolutely, and it felt so special when we opened those hangar doors on the morning of June 26th and, you know, taxied the plane out. It felt like everything was aligning just right, and that a little piece of Amelia was there with us.
Very good. Describe the route that you took. Now, you're taking off going to the east, correct?
Exactly. We chose an eastbound route, and we wanted to keep it as close to Amelia's original flight plan as we possibly could. And I started in Oakland. We made our way through Denver, Miami, then Trinidad and Tobago, down further south to Natal, Brazil. From Natal to Dakar, I decided to hand fly the 8.5-hour leg there because I could.
Yes.
We made our way through Sao Tome in Africa, through Tanzania, the Seychelles Islands, into the Maldives. We had to modify the route from Amelia's a little bit there to stay out of the Middle East and also avoid the monsoon season that's tracking through India. From there, we went into Singapore, Darwin, Papua New Guinea, Tarawa, Christmas Island, and then eventually on to Honolulu, being the first PC-12 to ever fly from Hawaii back to the mainland. Ah. And that's where we successfully completed the flight, and we also did an overfly of Howland Island.
Exactly. So, yes, I saw the pictures of you circling the island,
yeah.
And that must have been a very special moment, knowing that the history of that particular spot on the globe and that you were circling it and then continuing on.
Right. I think being named after someone, you develop a connection to who they are and what they stood for. And for me, that connection had always gone a certain depth. But as I flew over Howland Island and saw the one thing that Amelia wanted to see more than anything after leaving Howland and flying on that 10-hour stretch, seeing it with my own two eyes made me develop a whole new level of respect for Amelia and the bravery that she had using celestial navigation and limited radio technology to try and find that island, because it is absolutely tiny in the middle of thousands of miles of the Pacific Ocean.
So you used modern equipment, obviously, to do the navigation.
We absolutely did. And I wanted to honor the past by, you know, symbolically completing Amelia's flight, but use today's technology, because that's the direction that we're headed. And the young women who are involved in that, you know, aviation programs all across the world, you know, they're going to grow into that technology, and they'll also be the women that are developing it and improving it as we go. So I really wanted to set an example and say, we can do it safely. I'm not trying to prove anything that I can use old technology like Amelia did. I wanted to show that a flight around the world today can be done without flaw, you know, using the GPS, using the synthetic vision, and it certainly was a joy to see how well everything worked.
Great. You mentioned young people, and that was a component of this flight as well. I mean, it, obviously a personal journey for you, but you were sharing it with the world. I've seen some pictures on Facebook and other places where you're holding up cards that kids had sent to you, encouraging you and on the flight. How did that aspect of the flight come about?
So one of the most difficult parts of my flying career was involved with how much it cost to learn to fly. And I wanted to reduce that cost for other young women because I've had so many great opportunities put my way, and I wanted to start giving back. So about 2 years ago, I founded the Fly with Amelia Foundation, which is a nonprofit that grants flight training scholarships for young women ages 16 to 18. You know, they've got all that energy and enthusiasm. To put it to good use in aviation is really exciting. So as we passed over Howland Island at 27,000 feet, I awarded via Twitter, which was, you know, the best way to communicate with them.
That's right.
I awarded 10 flight training scholarships to girls across the U.S. who right now, during the week of AirVenture, are taking their discovery flights. And one of them showed up yesterday, just thrilled. She's a Denver girl, and she's already so excited about the process.
Are there any special experiences with working with young people during the flight that just stand out in your mind?
Absolutely. Knowing that no matter what point in your aviation career you're in, we're always in the same boat. We're always learning. We're always improving. I'm working on my commercial license right now, and I'm studying for my written. And so when the girls call me and say, oh, this is so hard, you know, I say, well, come on over. Let's go grab a coffee and study together, because we're always in the same boat. And as long as we stay lifelong learners within aviation, I think that keeps our safety level really high.
Excellent. Were there any, you mentioned having to modify the route for the Middle East and monsoons, any other sort of political traps that you had to run to get the flight off?
Absolutely. I mean, getting the overflight permits, especially through Africa, was one of the most difficult planning portions of the trip. Jeppesen helped us with all of that in so many different ways. But when we made our way into Africa, we decided on Dakar because it's a very popular route, very safe route leaving from Brazil. So once we got there, we moved our way into Sao Tome, avoiding areas of the Congo.
Right.
And when you look at what you're flying over, you know, there was basically a beeline that we could make heading into Tanzania. Tanzania was incredibly safe. We flew into Kilimanjaro Airport. The views were stunning. But yes, we had to modify through Africa. Amelia took a little bit of a more northern route, which took her across areas like Egypt.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Howland Island is a memory that stands out for you. But what are other memories of places that you were?
There are so many memories from this trip, and the photos that I've taken really stand out to me, and I'll cherish them for the rest of my life. But two that I can remember quickly, there's a coastline on northern Brazil that is covered in sand dunes. And during high tide, the water filters in over the dunes, and it creates this beautiful patterned effect over white sand and turquoise water. And the pattern there was just stunning. I tweeted that one out. And also seeing Kilimanjaro at sunrise as we broke through the clouds at 2,000 feet and watching that sunrise come up was pretty magical, because when you've been flying across Africa for hours and you see a snow-capped mountain, you know you're in an extreme place. So those two really stand out.
Great. Any weather concerns that thunderstorms, things like that, that you don't necessarily encounter in the States that were different in either Africa or over the Pacific?
Absolutely. We really had to take into consideration the fact that we were flying around the equator and the intertropical convergence zone, because you get that afternoon heating. Right around 2, 3 o'clock, the storms really start to develop. The ocean heats up. The clouds, you know, form up to 60,000 feet are the tops. Now, the ceiling on the PC-12 is 30,000 feet, so we didn't want to get stuck behind a line of embedded storms and linked storms across the Indian Ocean. So we took off at sunrise every single morning, and that allowed us to avoid that afternoon heating, get out and see the beautiful views. And so the other goal, the more dreamy goal there, was to see the sunrise around the whole world, something that so few people have been able to do, but we shared it on Twitter using the hashtag FlyWithAmelia.
Great. Tell us a little more about the foundation and what you plan for the future.
So the foundation is called the Fly with Amelia Foundation, and that's because my first flight lesson 10 years ago on June 2nd this year really showed me that if you have a good role model in mind when you're doing big things like I have in Amelia, you know, they can be there with you. And I always say I felt like I was flying with Amelia the whole time. So I decided to focus on two things: scholarships for young women, because of course we need more of them here, and it's so much fun once they finally get involved, and there's so many other life skills that are developed through aviation, but also STEM curriculum. So we're developing STEM-based curriculum that's free and downloadable for teachers anywhere across the country. Flight basics, taking it into the classroom and showing girls that, you know, you can maintain your femininity and also be a great pilot. You can be very well-rounded and use aviation to enhance every part of your life.
Excellent. And if someone would like to support the foundation, how can they find out more?
So there's two ways. They can go to our website, which is flywithamelia.org, or if you're holding a cell phone right now, you can text Amelia to 71777.
Excellent. And you'll be here for the rest of the week?
Absolutely.
All right. If folks would like to catch up with you, are you in any particular location?
Yes, we are. Today, we're going to head over to the Bose booth. We're also going to work with, who else do we have? The Kids Venture event this later this afternoon. We'll be wandering around, but our home base is the Pilatus booth. And we also have the Amelia Project t-shirts for sale. And we'd love to get those out to as many girls as possible.
Excellent. Amelia Rose Earhart, thank you for joining us today. And congratulations on your around-the-world flight. And good luck with the foundation and your work to inspire young ladies to join us in the air.
Well, thank you for having us.